What's up, Whoa That's Good fam? Welcome back to the Whoa That's Good podcast and happy Wednesday to everyone. Y'all, today, I'm just going to tell you, we got something special. I am so excited to announce that we have Hunter Girl from American Idol. She had my vote all season and now she's on the Whoa That's Good podcast. Hunter, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Sadie. I'm so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Oh my gosh, I've been looking forward to it. I was like, I think I'm going to fangirl because I've literally watched you on TV the past few months and voted for you. And I know that might sound funny to people because I'm also on TV and I've been on a show that people vote for, but you get so invested, you know, like you'll always just get invested in the stories. And gosh, it was just so fun to watch your journey. It's just so awesome.
Oh, thank you. No, I was fangirling so hard. So I was freaking out getting to be on here. I've watched you since I was younger and read your books, and I've looked up to you for a long time. Awesome. So it's a full circle getting to be here.
Sweet. It's mutual. Well, kind of how this came to be, I'll tell people who are listening. So Hunter Girl was just on American Idol, and I was voting for her the whole way up, and I just knew she was going to be the next American Idol, and Hunter came in second, which is still just incredible. I mean, when you think about just the reality of even that is just insane. And for me, for those who know my story, I was on Dancing with the Stars years ago, and I came in second as well. And I just remember in that moment, truly, like, I could not believe I was even in that position to even, one, be on Dancing with the Stars, two, make it to the finale, and come in second behind someone who was honestly just an incredible dancer. And funny enough, Alfonso, who beat me in Dance with Stars, was just here about an hour ago, just visiting. He was passing through Louisiana and he stopped by. And just the friendship that we formed was so beautiful. And so I just remember feeling so grateful. And yeah, like a little sad because, you know, you wanted to win, but also just so grateful for where I was. And so I just kind of was like, I'm gonna message Hunter on Instagram and just tell her like I'm thinking about her, and I know how it feels to come in second, and I just remember not even feeling like a loss, but feeling like a won because of all the things that I truly did win. And it wasn't the end of my career, is actually the beginning in so many ways, and it wasn't the peak, it was just a moment, another moment, you know, because I think sometimes you look at those and you're like, how can it get better than this? And then it did, you know. So I just encouraged her and she hit me back up, and one thing led to another, and now we're getting to have a conversation on the podcast. It's so cool.
Oh, I am so excited. Yeah, I remember I just gotten back home after the finale and you messaged me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, I love you, you know, just having awesome. All those emotions and such a crazy year and just feeling so proud of myself and after everything yes. that I'd been through that year. So getting that message from you meant a lot to me at that point, so I appreciate you.
As you should. That's awesome. All right. Well, I get to get to the question that I ask everyone on the Whoa That's Good podcast. So to start us off, Hunter Girl, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given? Boom. Drop Boom. That question like it was hot.
Drop the mic. So I've gotten a lot of great advice in my life, but this happened a few months ago. It was right before I was about to leave to LA for the last stint of Idol, you know, and we're going to the live shows. And I was scared to death. You know, I was really in my head, overthinking everything, just worried, you know, feeling very, very human. And I was shopping with my mom for some outfits to take with me and putting my suitcase that I was going to live in for the next, you know, 2.5 months. And the lady at the counter, she was talking to me and she was encouraging me and everything. And I was telling her how worried I was, because I talked to everybody, and she said, well, if God sends you to it, then he'll see you through it.
Wow.
And so that just sent me on my way, and I felt so calm and at peace in that moment. And so through every show that I did, I said that, you know, through everything that I'd been through. Awesome. And so that was probably the best advice I could have gotten at that point in my life. And awesome. I'll do that before every show that I ever have, because that I don't think she realized how much that she touched me in that moment. But that's what I really needed.
That's awesome. Come on, that's so cool. You know, you just never know when you're going to speak something over someone's life, and that's exactly what they needed in that moment. I remember someone told me one time not to ever keep a good thing a secret. And it's like in those moments, it's kind of like that. It's like she said one thing to you that probably didn't seem like a big deal to her, but that's something that you're going to hold with you every show that you ever perform at, every season of your life. When it feels so massive and so big, it's like, hey, if God sent me here, he's going to see me through it. And gosh, I can think about that in so many aspects of my own life where I need that advice. So that is really good. So I was, you know, saying right before we got on, just saying a prayer over you, and I was just thanking God for the gift that you have, but more than that, just who you are. And so obviously, you know, everyone knows you for your voice right now. Everyone knows you for American Idol, but take us back to, who is Hunter Girl? Like, where did the name Hunter Girl even start? Who were you? Where are you from? Yeah. All the things.
Okay, so I grew up in Grootley Lauger, Tennessee, and Winchester, Tennessee later on. But growing up, small town, my grandfather, he was a preacher. And so I grew up listening to him talk, and I always knew I wanted to be like my grandpa one day. And started playing shows whenever I was about 14. My parents would come with me and drive me and watch me through the window and be like, oh my gosh, that's my daughter. writing songs, playing guitar in a small town and just figuring everything out. I always knew that I wanted to do music. And I got to Nashville whenever I was 18, started school at MTSU, and I kind of hit the ground running, playing shows anywhere they would have me, 7 days a week, 4 8-hour shows. And I remember just calling my mom and on my way walking back to my car and just telling her, I'm like, I'm praying things work out, and I hope one day, you know, I get there. And so just this whole experience has been incredible, and it just like watching my family go through it all with me too, every step of the way. And so Hunter Girl, the name Hunter Girl actually happened. So my real name is Hunter. But I was in elementary school, and the lady at the front desk, she could never, nobody can pronounce my last name. My last name is Walkanowski.
Wow.
Yes. 11 letters. Kindergarten was hard whenever I had to spell my last name.
That is tough.
And so she would always be like, the girl Hunter girl, come to the office. And because I was the only girl named Hunter. And then it just kind of caught on, and everybody
so
would
cute.
Call me that. And
that's
so
awesome.
I was like, I guess I'm Hunter Girl. So that's where the name happened from.
I love that, because I thought it must have been like a show name, you know, whenever you started doing music, you decided to go out Hunter Girl. But that's so cute that it happened when you were young. I love that. That's awesome. So you said you were always kind of wanting to pursue music. That was always kind of a passion of yours. Whenever you were little and when you would sing, did your parents already kind of know like you had something special to you? Or when was it that y'all were kind of like, oh, you're actually like really good? I think about that for people like who can't really sing. And I'm like, you know, there are moments where you'd be singing in the shower, you're like, am I good? You know, but then like,
oh,
you're like, you're not really sure. Like, when was the moment that you're like, wait, I'm actually good.
Oh my gosh, you're crazy. I don't think I like ever had that moment. I think I was just like, I was too crazy to give up. I think that's what it was.
That's awesome.
But I sang in my grandpa's church, and I would sing around the house. I drove everybody insane. Singing all the time. And so my mom and dad, they always knew I wanted to do music. I listened to Dolly Parton growing up. That's who I wanted to be as an artist. And so they always supported me, and I just kept running for it ever since I was little.
Come on. One thing that you just said that I love is that I was too crazy to ever give up. And honestly, I think more people need that craziness. You know, I think that with our culture, a lot of people think, you know, if it's not easy, if it's not working for them, then it's not right. But that's so far from true. You know, a lot of things that are worth it are actually going to be really hard. And I think a lot of people think, because we live in this culture where it seems easy to get like famous, you know, you can post one video, go viral, and you think you're going to make it. But for you, even though you had like a famous moment, you had this moment on American Idol, you were actually like grinding. Like, you were working, like you said, you're singing 7 days a week at different places, you're pursuing your music. And so talk to me a little bit about just the times where it wasn't, you know, cameras, lights, action, awesome clothes, hair, makeup, like the hard moments, and what kind of helped you push forward in those times?
You know, there's a lot of hard moments going through music, just because everything's so uncertain. You know, I remember whenever I was younger and playing shows and just learning how to bring all my equipment in. I'd be packing up my cables, you know, counting my tips at the end of the night. And I was like 15, 16. And then going into Nashville, you know, where everybody's trying to make it in music, you know, it's a very, very scary thing. And where most people think it was scary, I was like, whoa, I'm excited. And my parents are like, oh my gosh, when I get down there.
Awesome.
And, you know, I learned so much while playing shows. I think that was the really, really special part about this journey is I started when I was 14 and I'm 24 now, and it's been a 10-year process. And I remember learning how to do my own sound because we had to figure that out. I remember the lights going out and figuring out, okay, I need to do this. I need to do that. Just learning how to do every part and just learning as you go along. I felt like all that work that I put into it whenever I was younger, it definitely prepared me for everything that was going to happen this past year. I couldn't have done this 5 years ago. I couldn't have. And just to think that all that time and all that work and all those nights where I called my mom and my dad and I was like, hey guys, like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying my best. And they're, you know, they're just pushing me on and encouraging me. And there's so many moments where I thought about giving up just because of how hard it was and not ever thinking you're good enough. And there's so many people out there, but in those moments, you know, I just remembered that, you know, I'm here for a reason and I want to write the songs that are going to help other people. And maybe that song could help somebody through something. And if I give up now, I'm not going to get to write that song.
That's awesome. That's so powerful. And I know so many people feel that way in different contexts. Maybe you're not a singer out there and maybe you're going through college and it's just getting hard. Or maybe you're pursuing a career that's just seems like you have a long stair step to climb. But, you know, it's in those moments that you do work hard. And even when it seems like things aren't working out, that you really are strengthening muscles that you're going to use later. It's just like when you're training in a sport. It's like some practices get so hard and you're thinking there is like no way I can do this. And you want to quit and it gets hard. But then when you're in the game, man, you're so glad you busted your butt, because if you didn't have that preparation, you would not feel the confidence you do in the game. And for you to step on an American Idol stage, man, how scary would that be if you had never worked your butt off before and done all the things that you do? Speaking of just kind of that fear and that overwhelming feeling, were you scared when you tried out for American Idol, or like, was that your first time? What was that process like?
Oh, for sure. So, you know, I had somebody reach out because we started Zoom auditions. That's how it first began. Mm-hmm. And so I just got back to Nashville and somebody had talked to me. They're like, you should do American Idol. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to think about it. Like, I'm coming back trying to figure everything out. And literally the next day I was playing a show, you know, nobody's ever there. I was just trying to make rent. And a girl comes up to me and she was like, hey, you know, I used to work on American Idol and I think you should audition.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, God, I got your sign. I'm going to do it. Yes. I don't think I'm going to make it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so I was so scared before my first American Idol audition and getting in there with the judges, people that I've looked up to for a really, really long time and I really respect. And my mom was there with me at the Nashville audition. And I think she was more nervous than I was. I was nervous, but she was falling apart.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was like, mom, I can't look at you before I go in here because you're crying your eyes out and I'm scared. And it's just that moment of just like, okay, I'm just going to push through it. And yeah, I was scared to death singing Riot to them. And I was not prepared for everything that happened after.
Wow, that's incredible. And I think that's another thing. It's like, just because it's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It normally means you should. And just because you're afraid, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. My mom always said to me, she's like, being afraid is not a good enough excuse to not do something. She's like, look, you can have other excuses and I might listen to it and I might be like, okay, but if you ever come to me and you say, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid, then you're doing it. And I just love that because, like, I think our generation focuses so much on, like, not having any anxiety. And it's like, sometimes you need a little healthy dose of anxiety to get you going, you know, because sometimes that just means it matters. It just means you care. And when you walk in front of Luke and Lionel and Katie and you're doing something that matters to you, like, it's gonna be scary and that's okay. And it's so awesome that you pushed through it, and you'd been through so many other moments where you probably felt afraid that you sang anyways, and man, it just prepared you. And Luke is actually one of our good friends. He's one of my dad's best friends and I love him so much, but I can't even imagine having to sing in front of him. I would be so nervous.
I was scared to death. But yeah, I definitely agree with you about fear. You know, I think if I ever go on a stage where, you know, I'm not afraid, it will never be a day that I'm here, because fear is just showing you what matters in a way in some points in your life. You're like, okay, if I'm nervous and I'm scared and I'm going out of my comfort zone, this means a lot to me. You know, I want to do a good job. I want to put my best foot forward. And if I have to go through fear, it just feels so empowering afterwards. You're like, oh my gosh, I did that. There were so many things in my head that told me that I would never make it through that, but I did it anyway. And I love, like, courage is courage is knowing you're scared and doing it anyway. And that's what makes you courageous.
Exactly. That's what gives you the confidence too, to keep doing it. Cause once you see you did it once, you're like, oh, I can do it again. And I feel the same way as you. I speak a lot on big stages and people always say, are you nervous? And I'm like, yes, I'm nervous. And they're like, oh, well, you shouldn't be nervous. You have no reason to be nervous. And I'm like, I actually think I should be, cause this is a really big deal, you know? Yeah. And I'm about to walk up, just me, in front of thousands of people, and I'm going to have to fill 45 minutes with words trying to impact people's lives. And those words matter to me. So it does carry a lot of weight. And it's okay that it makes me a little nervous. And honestly, it helps me really lean on God and depend on my faith, because I'm like, I actually am not capable of this moment by myself, but I know, like, by the power of your spirit and what you put in me, I can do it. And so it's so cool. Man, I bet that journey was just crazy. Can you think of any moment during American Idol where you had the realization of, like, whoa, like, my life is totally changing? Or was there a moment that you're like, this is actually crazy that I'm in this scenario right now?
Yeah, I think whenever we were there, we were constantly going and going and going. And I think the moment where everything kind of finally hit me is when we went back to our hometowns. That was just incredible. My hometown supported me so much whenever I was just a young kid running around trying to learn how to play guitar and play in shows, and just to see everybody that showed up, it was just overwhelming, just how many people that had supported me and that believed in me and thinking that I could do this, because I couldn't make it without those people, you know?
Yeah.
It just, that moment of like, oh my gosh, like, they're here. They showed up. I never thought that I would see all those people out there. And that's just awesome. To have that moment with them, it hit me. I was like, this is bigger than, you know, everything. Yep. You know, there's people out there that maybe might chase after their dreams, or somebody that listened to a song that might have got them through a really hard time. And just for me to be a part of that, in that whole experience, it's one of the most incredible moments of my life. And I think we get through life because of the people that support us along the way, because life's hard.
Absolutely.
But if you have people there that love you and appreciate you and believe in you, you know that you could do anything.
Absolutely. Man, your hometown it made me cry. I remember me and my family were watching it, and we're all watching the finale, and I was like your biggest fan. I was like, Hunter Girl's gonna win. And then we had a couple members of my family like, Noah's gonna win, and some others are Leo's gonna win. And we're all kind of in different camps, and all of y'all are just amazing and incredible people. But when your hometown was shown, I was like, see, that is the American Idol. And everyone was like, okay, I changed my mind. She's the American Idol. Because it was just so sweet, and it truly, your humility just really, it shined in that moment. And it just showed how much you care truly about your people, and like this deep root of where music even comes from for you, and just your genuineness to it. Because, you know, a lot of people are talented, a lot of people are gifted, but not a lot of people have the generosity and the care and use their gift for such good. And that just really, really was shown beautifully in your hometown. And I love how you sat with the veterans and hearing them speak life into you after you'd spoken so much life into them. That is what got me, and it was just so beautiful. So talk to us a little bit about just your passion for veterans and where that comes from and some of the work that you do.
That moment in the finale, getting to watch that video, because I obviously lived it, but just watching it and having that moment, you know, I was emotional the entire time. They've given up so much for all of us, and I can't imagine some of the things that they went through. You know, I basically do is I sit down with a veteran and we talk about what they went through, things they saw during war, and I write a song about that. And they get to keep it forever. We record it. We play shows, and the coolest part is getting to sing that song for the veteran and them getting to keep that forever. And I think it made me definitely realize like how much music helps and heals people. Yeah. And I have learned so much from them. As in my music journey, my writing completely changed whenever I started working with veterans because it's, you know, whenever you're writing for yourself, you're thinking, oh, is this word right? You know, am I singing this the right way? Is this right? And then it goes, okay, what's going to make somebody feel something? What's going to get somebody through this? What's going to speak to people? And just working with veterans has changed my life. And I have a huge military family. And I love getting to work with them, and I will continue to do that for the rest of my life because they've given up so much for us. And if I could do anything for them, I'm going to do that.
Come on, man, that's so good. And just such a good reminder of how much they have done for us and do for us. And in any way that any of us can give back, you want to do that. And I love how you hold, I guess you really see the gravity that your words carry. And the Bible talks about that a lot. It says, your words, your tongue holds the power of life and death. And so we can speak words that literally give life to people. And I love that that's a huge part of your writing. Do you remember the first song you ever wrote when you were a little girl?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was probably terrible. I started writing when I was 9 years old, and I don't even know like what I had to have been going through. Like my crayons broke. I have no idea.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I wrote about anything and everything, but yeah, the first, I can't even remember. Do I? Oh no. I think I do.
Please.
I wrote like little, oh my gosh, I wrote little songs, but I think there was one that I wrote about a boy in class one day when I like later on, and I was like, it was called like Knight in Shining Armor, and I was like, oh my gosh, my sister still has the video.
That is hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm a mess. I just learned how to play guitar. It was a lot. It was a lot all at once, but my sister never lets me forget it. That's for sure.
That is awesome. Hey, leave it to your siblings to always humble you. We need that, huh? Everybody needs a sibling to just give them a little humbling. That's awesome.
For sure.
So your song that you put out, Redbird, is so good. And it's actually really cool because my friend, one of my very best friends, she has this thing where like she really feels like God has given her redbirds in different seasons of her life. And she had an aunt that passed away, and redbirds always remind her of her aunt. And it's actually really cool because whenever we lived in Nashville, we had moved like 3 different times in Nashville because we were roommates. And she told me before we ever moved for the first time, she was telling me about the redbirds thing. And she was like, every time my family moved when we were younger, there would always be a redbird at the new house we got to. And it just kind of reminded us that our aunt was there. I'm not kidding. The 3 times we moved, there was a redbird at our house every single time. All 3. At our new house the day we got there. And it was just so special. And, you know, I don't know all the ways God works. God's mysterious, and he works in a magnitude of ways. And I don't know what it means, but it was just such a reminder to us that he had us and he had that place that we were going. And, gosh, I have another friend that has a thing with ladybugs, and ladybugs always show up. And, you know, it's just these little things. And so what was the redbird for you, and why did you feel like that was a song you wanted to put out?
So whenever I was younger, my mom always told me that whenever I saw a red bird, it was just a sign that somebody was watching over us up in heaven. And I remember she also told me that whenever I saw a red bird to make a wish, and when it flew away, it would come true. And it was right before the first episode of American Idol was going to, air. And I was driving back to home, and I was scared to death. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to be on TV. I don't think people are going to like me. All these things in your head that just like drive you down. And I was driving down my road, and I was talking to God, and I was like, hey, I know that you know everything's going to be okay, but could you just let me know? And I saw a red bird fly in front of my car, and another one, and another one, all the way back to my parents' house. And I just broke down right outside and just started crying. And I just knew that it was just that same saying, like, if he's going to send you to it, then he'll send you through it. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And I came back to Nashville the next week, and I got in a room with 2 of my friends, and we ended up writing that song. And we were all 3 just, we were crying at the end of it, just because we were all separately going through something in life where we needed that sign. And I left for California probably about a few weeks later. And when it came time for us to cut our singles that we did on the show, I'd sent in songs and everything. And Redbird was the one that was chosen. And that's the song that it's if I had to choose one song that was 100% me as a person, it would be that song. And it feels like awesome. I pulled my heart out and laid it there for everybody, just because I'd lost so many people in my family. I'd lost some of the veterans that I worked with. And whenever I was writing that song, I was thinking about everybody that I had lost, and just to keep going. And sometimes you just need to know that you're not alone in this world. And so getting to sing that song in the finale, I felt like that was that moment for me where that was why I was there, and that was my purpose. I just wanted people to know that, you know, they're not alone. I feel like during, you know, 2020, like that feeling of alone and scare and fear was like so prevalent. And that song, I feel like music had got a lot of people through that time. And I wanted to choose a song that was 100% me, and that definitely told my story and about how hard life can be, but we can always make it through it because, you know, God's always going to have our backs and show us where we're supposed to go. So using that song was one of the scariest moments, because it's like, oh my gosh, this is 100% me. It's not half me. It's not a little bit of me. It's all, it's all everything that I thought. And so getting to sing that song was one of the most special moments of my entire life.
Wow. That is so cool. And that's so powerful just to know the backstory. And you know what's so cool, Hunter, is like, you put that song out and it is 100% you, and it is a beautiful song. That's incredible. Christian, I listened to it a couple times yesterday, just knowing you were going to be on today. It's such a good song. But what I love about it is when you listen to it, you take it personally. And I always say that about writing books, because when I write a book, I'm like, oh, this is scary, because this is 100% me. And it's not the good moments, right? It's the hard moments. It's not like, here's my highlight. It's like, here's all the hard stuff I've walked through and I'm figuring out and God's teaching me. Here's when I was the most afraid and the most weak and the most lonely and this and that and that and the other. And what I realized after writing my first book is I was so scared because I felt like everyone's going to see me. But when people read my story, they don't think, oh, Sadie went through this. They see their story within those words. They're relating to that feeling and they're relating to that situation. And so when people read my books, they're not like, oh, I can't believe you went through all that. They hug me and they say, I went through the same thing. Or when you said that, it touched me in this way. And when people hear your song, it's the same thing. People aren't saying, oh, Hunter's this and that and the other. They're like, man, thank you, Hunter, for giving me something, putting language to something that's really hard for me to say. Or, you know, thank you for giving me hope in a time that has been really sad, or helping me fix my eyes above where I'm at. And so I just think it's awesome that you're using music in such a way that it really does help heal people, you know, and it helps relate to people, and you're doing something bigger than yourself. I think that's something that really stands out about you, and it stands out when people do that, when they're not just doing something to be the next American Idol, although that would be great too, but you're doing something to help people and to move the hearts of people, and that you're doing, and that you're winning at. And I just think that's incredible. I want to ask you, like, you know, just going forward, who, you know, because when you step into fame, like, fame's crazy, right? And fame makes people do crazy things. But I've, you know, had fame, I guess, if you will, since I was 14 years old. And people always say, you know, it's crazy that you didn't go crazy. And I always say, well, you know, I could have. And there's certainly moments where fame can lead you to do that. But I just felt super rooted in my family and my faith. And honestly, I was doing it for something bigger than me. And it kept me really humble. What are some things as you go forward that you just hope to really stay true to? You know, and this is not a pressure thing. We're all going to make mistakes, but what are some things that you're like, this is Hunter Girl, and this is who I want to be as an artist and as a person and as a celebrity, if you will.
Crazy to think about it like that.
Isn't that crazy?
I know, it's crazy. I think that, you know, this year has been the craziest year of my entire life. And I think that I got to know myself a lot more as a person throughout this entire year. And I know that I'm always going to choose and write the songs that people need It may not be the most commercial song or anything like that, but I'm going to write the song that's going to help people and heal people, because, you know, going through seasons of life, you know, everything constantly changes and life's hard. And if mm-hmm. there's a song that can be written that gets somebody through at least like just 3 minutes where they don't feel that fear or sad or lonely, you know, I want to write that song. I want to be the person that helps people. I think that's one of my callings. Like, I want to help people just through everything that life throws at us. And I want to be 100% me and honest all the time. I feel like, you know, writing, you know, you like whenever you're talking about writing, it just feels like it's your personal diary that you have laid out for everybody to look at. And I don't think that I'm never going to change that. I'm never going to filter myself in that way, because you have to say the hard things. You have to talk about these things that you've been through, because there's somebody out there that's waiting for somebody to be able to relate to that. You need to hold on to those words and the hard parts of life, because somebody needs to talk about it. And so I think I'm always going to be that person that chooses to talk about the hard thing and always stay true to myself along the way, because it's been a great year, the best year, I'm always going to stay true to that and my family and my home and all that.
That's awesome. Hey, well, we're going to cheer you on while you do it, because me and all of my listeners are Hunter Girl supporters and fans and also more than that, friends. And I want to ask you, too, what are you looking forward to? I mean, American Idol just happened, and that's epic, and that's awesome. But what are some things you're working on and looking forward to in the years to come?
I am looking forward to everything, just life in general. But
that's right.
Working on new music, want to be playing shows soon. But I'm really excited about new music. I had a lot to write about this past year. And so I got back to Nashville and immediately started writing songs again and hit the ground running, because I can't rest.
That's awesome.
New music is something that I'm working on, and writing the songs and playing the shows, and just excited for life, honestly. And can't wait to see what happens in the future.
That's awesome. Well, hey, we're so excited for you. And like I said, cheering you on. You are just as fun to talk to over the phone as you were to watch. And, you know, I'm in Nashville a good bit, so I'll hit you up when I'm there. I'd love to hang out. I know some of my very best friends live in Nashville, so next time I'm there, I'll reach out to you. But seriously, thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks for just being a huge inspiration to so many. And I know there's so much more behind the music, and it's fun to get to hear the heartbeat behind what you do. Next song you put out, I know everyone's just going to jump on it and be so excited now, just even knowing your heart behind it. And you're just awesome, friend. Love you already, and thankful that we got to chat.
I love you, Sadie. Thank you so much for having me on. And when you're in Nashville, I better get a phone call.
Girl, you will. We're going to go to Topgolf. We're going to be having some fun. That's going to be awesome.
I'm excited.